Bienvenidos a Rise and Shine, un momento de tranquilidad, música y muy buenas charlas. Rise and Shine, con Alvin Adams.
Hola from beautiful downtown Buenos Aires, center of my universe and yours. You are listening to Urbana FM 89.5, Alvin Adams at the microphone, bringing you a totally new weekly program in English, which we are calling, not surprisingly, for this hour of your Saturday morning, Rise and Shine. The idea of the show is to offer you a conversation with one or two different guests each week, from all walks of life, doing all kinds of things, with all kinds of stories. As with all programming on Urbana FM, music is part of the show. We aim to have some fun and to make your day. So let's get with it. Dale, Buenos Aires.
We have fallen down again tonight. In this world, it's hard to get it right. Trying to make your heart feel like a glove. What it needs is love, love, love. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh. Strains and light will come again. Swing open up your chest and let it in. Just let the love, love, love begin. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Everybody, everybody wants to love. Everybody, everybody wants to be loved.
Today's show is about food in Buenos Aires, lesser-known offerings, and sweet things. We take it from two angles, from a noted connoisseur, food writer, and chef in his own right, and from the owner of a wildly successful business in Buenos Aires, which deals with customers who are blessed with a sweet tooth. In my case, it's more like a sweet tusk, as large as an elephant's. With us now in the studios of Urbana FM is Dan Perlman. Dan is an American living here, owner of Salt Shaker, owner of a restaurant, and author of one of the most engaging blogs I have encountered by the same name, Salt Shaker. If you want to read out on a restaurant or a group of them who do a particular kind of food or who want just to tag along with him as he takes you on a guided tour, let's say, by his blog of the Avenida Pueyrredón, you must consult his blog. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Frank Almeida, owner of Sugar and Spice. Dan Perlman, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Al.
Dan, Buenos Aires has the reputation as one of the food capitals of the entire world. How anyone stays slim in the city is beyond me, and believe me, it's a challenge. How does Buenos Aires live up, in your opinion, to its reputation?
Well, first of all, in terms of staying thin, you know, I think it's the mate and walking everywhere that keeps you there. So you just have to do those. In terms of living up to its reputation, I think it does very well. It may not be the world's most creative food capital, but the quality of the food that's available here is excellent.
Mate, you mentioned. Mate does have an effect.
Well, mate has a whole lot of caffeine in it.
Yes. Yeah. More than coffee?
I don't know about more than coffee, but going through about four or five shots of mate is about the equivalent of going through four or five espressos.
Holy cow, I bet and it's cheaper too, isn't it?
It's far cheaper. You don't have to get a barista to make it for you.
Oh, that's right, unlike downstairs where I just had a nice cup of coffee and got me going. Just like I hope I'm getting you going, who are listening to the show, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. I know it's a little early, but get up and go. What would you point to as the strengths of Argentine cuisine?
Well, I think it's almost obvious it's the beef. You know, there's no question that it's the beef capital of the world in terms of what's being served, the quality of it, and the care taken for preparing it.
You know, I heard the other day that Uruguay is exporting more beef than Argentina.
I don't know that. I do know that now Argentina is a net importer of beef. A lot of that has just come down with the conflicts that there have been between the ranchers and the government and such. So a lot of beef is now being imported into Argentina.
How would Argentine beef differ, let's say, from American beef?
Well, the biggest thing is that a large percentage, certainly well over half the beef here, is pasture-fed, free-range beef. So it gets out there. It's much leaner. In fact, I've seen some studies that say that the amount of fat that's in the beef here is actually equivalent to a typical chicken or piece
really?
Of salmon.
Is it organic beef generally then?
It's not necessarily organic, but they don't tend to use growth hormones and antibiotics and all that like we're used to seeing.
But isn't it true that the fat actually gives a special taste to meat and to beef?
Fat gives a different
taste. I love it, but anyway.
Yeah, what fat does is it helps coat the tongue. It coats the palate so it carries flavor molecules. And I think that Argentine beef has a stronger flavor that comes from the type of meat that it is that makes up for that. And it tends to be a little chewier, a little more intense flavor, but you don't get that soft sort of melting texture that you often get.
Is there a taste of mate?
Very marbled beef.
Is there a taste of mate with Argentine beef?
To you have them together?
No, they don't feed.
No.
What a thought. Only for me would you get a thought.
Well, you know, it might keep the cows going, you know, and help them certainly work off a little extra fat.
You were saying that fat coats the tongue.
Yes.
And there's a chemical reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Well, the fat sort of traps the flavor molecules and the aromas so that as it coats your palate, you get that intensity.
What happens if you smoke? Does that destroy the effect of the fat?
Well, it certainly has a major effect because the molecules from the smoke bind to your taste receptors and help prevent them, or maybe help is the wrong word, but prevent them from combining with other molecules.
Is it true that in the business of food and cooking generally, chemistry has a lot to do with it?
Chemistry has a huge amount to do with it. Yeah.
Just, you know, raw molecules. How much do you – did you study chemistry?
I studied it. I won't say that I did well.
I don't know how I got through 4 years of college and three of law school without taking a single science course.
Yeah. I didn't manage that. I actually managed to get through both inorganic and organic chemistry with just scraped through the grades.
Where would you be from in the States?
From Michigan. I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I went to the university there, University of Michigan.
Did you go to the university school? Is there a university school there? Would force you to take
Well, I went to University chemistry? Of Michigan for college, and I went to a local high school for...
Mm-hmm. What brought you down here? I mean, of all places in the world where there's good food, yes, Buenos Aires is definitely one of them, but there are a couple of others.
Well, I came down here on vacation more or less by mistake. it's a long story, but I met my partner while I was down here and came back on another vacation and decided to stay. At that point, I planned to stay for about 6 to 8 weeks, and that has stretched into 5 years.
It's true, I think. Argentina has one thing in common with Hawaii. People go there not intending to live there, but they go there for love, generally. And most of the people I know who are not from Hawaii, who live in Hawaii, are there because of love.
There you go.
And there you go here. I don't know how many people I've met.
I would agree. I've met more people here who have moved here specifically because of that than probably any other reason.
How has living here changed your life?
It certainly slowed down my pace. You know, having after Michigan, I moved to New York, and I lived in New York for 23 years. So I got very used to that sort of high energy, high pace sort of thing. And I find it interesting when people come down here and go, "Oh my God, it's a big city, and everything's moving at a rapid pace." Because by contrast to New York, this is a city on quaaludes.
Oh well, it's fast for me. I don't know where I've been for the rest of my life. But definitely fast. Now, if you're listening here to Rise and Shine, Alvin Adams at the microphone, early Saturday morning for you, but not for me. And you are listening to this program on Urbana FM 98.5 here in beautiful downtown Buenos Aires. Let's talk about some of the unusual foods or lesser known foods in Argentina. Okay. What would you point to?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think everybody knows things like steaks and empanadas and pizza and pasta, the sort of standards that you can find in any restaurant. But I think people often go into a local restaurant, especially those who haven't been here a long time, and they see things on the menu that have names that they just have no idea what they are. And there may not be a good description of what it is, something like a classic dish like revuelto gramajo or a pionono, things along those lines.
Tell me about pionono.
Well, pionono is, when I first got here, I thought it was one of the strangest things that had ever been put on a plate. Basically, it is a sponge cake, a jelly roll type sponge cake, but instead of putting sweets inside, they put like a chicken salad or a tuna salad or something like that in, but you still have the sweet cake rolled up around it.
They're a little bit like matambre.
Matambre, but with cake.
Yes, but with cake. My goodness, you don't have it for dessert.
No, you have it as an appetizer very often or a light lunch.
Mm-hmm. How about regional cuisines here? What would you point to, let's say, what would you point to as the most distinctive regional cuisine in Argentina?
Most distinctive regional cuisine? That would be difficult to say, but probably something from the northwest, be it Salta or Jujuy or that general area, where you get a lot of the stews that sort of come from the Andean traditions, things like locro and carbonada, mondongo.
Choclo.
And if I'm allowed to say it on the air, the puta parió.
Well, what is that?
Well, puta parió, if you were to translate it into English, basically comes down to whore's offspring. And it's a way of referring to the very hot chili peppers. And a stew of that sort is a very spicy stew. And it's sort of a generic term for stews of that sort.
What does a spicy stew have to do with the offspring of a puta? Well,
I would say that in general, the Argentine palate is not big on very
spicy
strong
stuff.
Spicy stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, lots of spices, but not necessarily spicy in terms of things like chilies.
So they call it that instead of hijo de puta.
Yeah, that one's not used.
If we were in the United States, I'd be censored for saying such a thing. Where would you go? Let's say you mentioned something earlier about armadillos. Is that something that's a common?
I mean, it's not something you're likely to find on your average restaurant in Buenos Aires, although there are a couple of restaurants that do offer it. But it is a typical cuisine from parts of the northwest and west. Not your daily fare, but it's an inexpensive meat. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it tastes like chicken, but, you know.
Salmon.
There you go.
That's very, a very popular thing. Where would you go here? You're looking for very fresh vegetables and ingredients for the stuff that you do. Where would you go? You close your eyes and you had a chance to go wherever you wanted in the city.
I would say one of two places. I would either go to Barrio Chino, Chinatown, out in Belgrano, or I would go to the last of the real remaining mercados, the Mercado del Progreso, which is out in Caballito.
And why would you go there?
Because it's a real farmer's market with a lot of produce, and direct representatives of, you know, the vegetable
farmers
growers.
Actually,
not the farmers, but they have representatives who take, you know, one person may have a stand that represents half a dozen different farmers. But there is a direct connection there through the Mercado Central.
What might you find there that you wouldn't find in your local vegetable store?
More variety. You're not going to find anything particularly exotic, but you're going to find more variety, and certainly, I think, better prices. Mm. Than most of the little neighborhood spots.
How then, stepping back a bit, looking at the business of retail food here in Buenos Aires from what you've known in other places, let's say New York, how do the two differ?
Well, I think there's more of the sort of mom-and-pop type businesses here. You know, every block in the city has its own little verdulería, frutería, carniceria for buying fruits, vegetables, meats, things like that. And I think we've gotten definitely used to in the States not having a neighborhood butcher shop or a neighborhood vegetable or fruit provider. There certainly are supermarkets here, and for convenience, people obviously use them. But I think for the daily, the fruit and vegetable and meat, people tend to go to the little local guy on the street. And then the supermarket is saved for things like cleaning supplies and staples, you know, milk and sugar and flour. And
that's
like that.
That's what I do. What would you say the benefit would be of a mom and pop operation as opposed to, I don't know what,
if
Walmart?
If nothing else, it's just simply knowing the person who's selling it to you and developing a relationship with them where you trust what they're providing you to be good quality, and you also may develop a relationship to the level where you can order things that you might not be available in your neighborhood otherwise.
Esto es Rise and Shine.
And it won't be long. You're gonna look for me, but I'll be gone. I believe, yeah. Said, I believe, yeah. Yeah. Oh, baby, you're trying to make a fool. Been going round, baby, with your head so hard. I think I'm gonna have to choose my pride. Cause I believe, yes, I do now. I believe, yeah. I believe it, baby. I believe you've been trying to make a fool.
Regresa Ala Adams, Rise and Shine, por Urbana.